The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
But I found myself reacting in control that came from fear. And finally, I just said to my husband one day, I said, I'm broken and I'm afraid I will never change. And my husband, in his kindness, we've been married 26 years. He knows me. He said, we're all broken. You're just more aware of it.
Rebecca Lyons introduces a process that uncovers our inner strength during times of adversity. Next.
Well, I'm so excited. Rebecca Lyons is back with us. She's just written a book, a new book, Building a Resilient Life. She was here the last time, and I got her in a conviction as she was sharing. And Betty, I had to get us to join hands and ask Rebecca to pray for me. I want you to look in on that. And Rebecca, we're going to come to you in just a moment. But I want you to look in and see, because I feel like everybody has a hole in their heart and a hurt. Sometimes pain and shame, pain caused by shame, and they need it healed. Let's look in on that moment, because we're going to be praying for you.
Father, thank you for bringing us here on this day. Thank you for appointing this conversation and the people who are here and the people who are watching. I pray right now for your healing hand on James. Thank you for just giving him your eyes to see, and whatever it is that God, we just want to cast aside the sin that so easily entangles. Sometimes we're blinded to something that all of a sudden you just bring to the light. You do it time and time again, and we thank you. We praise you because you are pulling us to yourself, God. You are pouring your spirit out on us, God. You have such intention for healing in your church, God. I believe it with all my heart. May man just see our own brokenness. I mean, it's just, we're desperate. We're desperate for you. We're desperate in need of you, God. And we ask you to just pour your spirit over us. Heal our hearts, God, like every broken part. Make us new. When Christ says, I will make you new, may we receive that newness, God. It is never too late to say, yes, I'm done with the life I've orchestrated. I'm done being master of my domain. God, I'm yours, solely yours, and I will walk in obedience as your servant, whatever it is that you ask. Make it clear, God, you have such plans for your people. You want to set captives free. I believe it with all sincerity, God, that you want to lift the scales from the eyes of your church, God.
Yes.
You want to unleash power in your church, and the church has lost power because there's just been a spirit of control, God, and we just cast it aside. We want you, all of you, we want you to not hold back. We want to see healing. We want to see anointing. We want to see prophecy. We want to see salvation in every way, God. And we just ask that you would just flood us with your presence, God. And we will count it all glory and all honor, and we will testify to this healing. We will not be silent about what the work that you're beginning in us, the work that it's pouring out all around, God. We just are so thankful. Come in your spirit and your power. Heal us. Heal our hearts. Heal anything we put our hands to. Heal our land, God. The captivity we see on our soil looks different than anywhere around the world. We are a people that are in bondage by fear. Set us free.
Yes, God.
Wow, you have no idea, Rebecca, what that prayer meant to me. I've experienced so much defeat from having a broken home and no father and no one encouraging me, but setting the stage, Betty, for me to, let's say, be trapped up into all manner of evil, and not realize how shameful those things are and how they really get on you. And boy, we all need to not be ashamed and let the one who puts the shame on us or others who shame us and let shame pull us down, because God wants to lift it and he wants to heal the hurt in our heart and the hole. Rebecca, I feel like called of God to help us find the way out of the pain and the shame.
Thank you. Wow, just watching that again, my goodness. It's beautiful. And honestly, it was so brave of you in that moment to go, will you pray for me? I mean, you're the guy who's leading this thing, and you just led with such tender vulnerability that you opened the door, I think, for so many people to do the same. You know, sometimes people think that because you've arrived or you lead a ministry or you've been a Christian for a long time, that surely you must not struggle. And on that honesty is what is so compelling. And that's where the Lord meets us in that vulnerability. I was thinking about just watching that. So many of us in the church, I think, have grown very weary in this season. This idea of just exhaustion, partly because the world is spinning out. And we feel powerless to stop it. We're not sure what to do. And I'm just reminded of the words of Jesus in the message. He says, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And I'm just reminded about this idea of shame, like the weight of shame I write about in that first rule. Name. There's a weight that literally buries us. And this idea of shame is so much about separating us from a relationship with God first, right? When God created us in the garden, created Adam and Eve, he just wanted relationship. He actually wanted to commune with them, to walk with them in the cool of the day. And immediately when sin enters in, he's saying, where are you? Because shame makes us hide. Shame makes us hide from our own hearts, our own past, our own failures, but it also makes us hide from the Lord and from one another in our present day life. And so often we feel buried by shame because we're afraid that we're the only ones experiencing this kind of brokenness. And then we're also afraid that we're powerless to change. And this happened to me. I remember telling Gabe 3 years ago, you would think I wouldn't have been buried by shame. But I found myself reacting in control that came from fear. And it was just with my whole family while we were in lockdown for a year. And finally, I just said to my husband one day, I said, I'm broken and I'm afraid I will never change. And coming out, it kind of choked me saying it out loud. And my husband, in his kindness, we've been married 26 years. He knows me. He said, we're all broken. You're just more aware of it. And honestly, he just put a pin in the balloon that was so big in my mind. He's like, we're all broken. And you just feel fully, and you feel like you're the only one. And there was a grace and a kindness. And just by hearing that response of mercy of a husband who sees me in all the best and all the worst going, oh, no. Like, we are all in this together, and God is doing a redeeming work in all of us. So when I want to retreat from relationship with Gabe, he came toward me. And that's what God does for all of us. When we want to hide in our story or our background or our trauma, God's going, no, I'm going to hunt you down. I actually am pursuing you, just like Adam and Eve when I said, where are you? I want to be with you, not because I need you to do great things for me. I delight in you as a son and a daughter, and my mercy triumphs over judgment. I want to do the healing work, but you can't heal what is hidden. So you got to begin by naming the pain.
That is so good. I'm going to just hit these names of these other rules that you have in here as the chapter titles: shift the narrative, embrace adversity, make meaning, endure together. How do you literally embrace somebody and encourage somebody, Rebecca, that right now feels like I'm totally alone in my pain or my shame or my defeat, whatever? How do you get them to understand that they can find that togetherness that you're talking about and they long for?
Yes. Well, I would begin with Romans 5, 3, and 4. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. So it ends with, starts with suffering, and it ends with hope. And the truth is, we cannot build resilient lives alone. And these last 3 years, I was so used to going to 30 cities a year on an airplane and ministering. And then I would come home and I would feel a little isolated in my town. Like, I had friends I knew, you know, from a distance, but I hadn't really had a rhythm of confession with people that I was going to meet with regularly. And so Gabe started a men's Bible study at 7 a.m. every Tuesday morning. That quickly grew when there was lockdown, you know, to about 20, 30, 40, because people were just looking for a way to somehow Zoom for a season and then get back together. Well, the wives followed suit. And pretty soon we had an every Tuesday morning confessional community where we would open the scriptures, just read one chapter together, however many were there. So say we're in Galatians 1 and there was 10 of us, we'd each take 3 or 4 verses. And then we would just begin to talk about what the Holy Spirit was telling us or prompting us or convicting of us in that passage. So it was so basic, right? Just read the Bible and gather in a small group. And before you know it, in this women's group every Tuesday, one of us would inevitably start to name the pain and start crying. And then everyone would come around that person, whether it's a marriage in crisis or a child that's, you know, estranged or unresolved conflict or addiction, you name it. And we would just lay hands and we would do what I just did with you earlier in the show. We would just pray that God would move. We began to do this now for almost 2.5 years. And honestly, it has been the life force for me to now know that I'm not alone. I knew that cognitively, but because I physically made myself show up weekly with, you know, some people I had just met. I mean, there's a lot of risk in being vulnerable with people you don't know. But then I'm thinking, I chronically overshare in the books that total strangers read. I should probably be able to share a little bit in a room of people that are trusted friends. And when I did it, I think what happens when we begin to share and lead with vulnerability like you did, James, all of a sudden the other person hears that and they say, "You too? I thought I was the only one." And that's how friendship is forged. And so I would just encourage anyone watching to go find one person that you're willing to invite in. And maybe there's just something that feels scary to say out loud. Maybe you just have never said it out loud because you think it's better to not revisit it. But if we have a crazy fear of this one thing, it's because there's a history attached to a wound that we're still actually suffering from. And so the beauty is God exposes to us what he's ready to heal, what he's ready to move. I've always believed that the Spirit prompts us when he's like ready to do something. That's why when we say, let's pray, like, let's pray. Let's not talk about praying. Let's actually do the praying because God wants to do something. And I'm reminded of the words of David in Psalm 139. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's anything in me that's wicked and lead me in the way everlasting." He's talking about an anxious heart. If David, God's bestie, had an anxious heart and he was able to bring it to the Lord and say, "Show me, search me, test me, prove me, and then let me actually confess this." In the scriptures in the New Covenant, it talks about confess your sins to God and one another so that you can be healed. So it's not just about telling God everything, while that would be wonderful. He eventually wants to reconcile us to the Father, but also to one another. And so the more willing I am to get real gut level honest with the Lord about my pain, the more he makes me able to get real gut level honest with one another so that we can bear one another's burdens and pray. And there's just a beautiful healing that is done in community. There's so many studies and research that just says when we share and bear one another's burdens, it lifts. It just does. All of a sudden, we realize that God is carrying, he's using his church, the bride, to carry one another. And so for these last 3 years, we've just become an Acts 2 community. You don't need a lot of people. In fact, sometimes it's better with less people. People that you just trust. People that watch you walk through hard days. There are hard days with special needs kids. There's hard days with typical kids. But people who are going to show up for each other because there's a trust built by opening the scriptures, breaking bread, praying for one another. It's so basic. It's how the church was born. The church was born and built on hospitality, opening our homes and opening the scriptures. And I just know the Lord wants to create community very vibrantly, just like that today as well.
I want all of you to know something right now. As I was listening, I'm hearing a lot of hearts looking at us. And you're saying, but you knew somebody. You knew some people at church. I don't have a church. I don't know who to talk to. Okay, I'm talking to you right now. the one that feels the loneliest and most overlooked, you're not. Do you realize that's why we're here? Do you realize that we spend a tremendous amount of money to call you into the family room to hear the Father? That's who you've been hearing. But you're saying, but James, I don't have those people to bounce off of. She talked about, or you and Betty have, and y'all have each other, and I'm so lonely. Well, listen, we're here for you. Now, I want to say this to you. We're going to pray for you. I want you to know something. I'm going to offer this book that will deal with so many questions, and we're going to give it to anybody who will help us share fresh water, a cup of water, with people who have no clean water. They're dying of contaminated waterborne diseases. That's what's killing them. It's killing their children before they're five. So we're going to do that. If you just say, I need help, okay, I'm talking to you right now, just like Rebecca prayed for me. I hear your heart. I do. And I don't know what all the enemy's put on you. I don't know how all you failed. I don't know how lonely you are, how far you are from your family, how cut off. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray that God will give you a friend. Now listen, in the church I go to is Gateway in Southlake in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Every week at the end of the service, the pastor that's presiding says, if you need a prayer request or whatever, you come down here, we're going to help you. Well, you could walk down and you could say, I'm alone. I don't have a friend. I don't know who to talk to. And they're going to find you a friend. Now, this is what I'm doing right now. I'm going to pray for God to give you a friend, but I want you to try to find a church somewhere. And if you just go in, and I mean, just stand in the lobby and say, could I ask somebody, is there anybody here that would talk to me? I want you to go looking for somebody who will show you Jesus, who will show you God's love. That's what we're doing. I'm doing my best to get my arms around you. I'm in your home or wherever you are. You could be in some club somewhere. I don't care where you are. You may be in a hotel room. I don't care. God wants to get his arms around you. He wants to pull you up close to his heart. He wants you to feel his heart, experience his heart, know his heart, and how much he loves you. Father, I'm praying for every person right now that feels so defeated, so downtrodden, so alone. God, let them know they're not alone. You sent us into their home with your love and your grace and with Rebecca and all the truth and love that we can pour out on them. And Lord, they can experience it. They can find somebody that will hear their heart and heal their broken heart. God, please lead them to that person. Now, listen to me. You see that telephone number there? It's an 800 number. You don't have to have a dime to call it. Love pays for it. You call and say, I'm alone. I heard Rebecca, I heard James and Betty. I love what you do on Life Today, but I'm so alone, I need help. And you know what, you tell them what's on your heart. They're going to pray with you. They're going to agree with you. If you need to turn your life over to God, they're going to help you. Betty, pray with me. Father, let everybody out there hear you right now. As Rebecca has spoken, and she has shown people how we can reach out, and you reach out to us. And God, everybody needs to experience that. And we need others. We need others. So Lord, do a healing work today in the lives of everyone watching us on television. In Jesus' name. That number is there for it. It's a friend. Now, if there's so many people calling, and there could very easily be, you get a busy, you write that number down and you call until you get through, because you're going to talk to somebody that'll love you. Rebecca, I thank God put his arms around so many people right now. And you say, you mean y'all really care about us? That is the reason Betty's here. I'm here. My staff is here. It's the reason we work so hard. It's the reason people like Rebecca are helping people all the time. I'm asking you, please call for the help that's there, because love pays for it. That phone call. Now, for all the rest of you, if you're not in great need right now, and you may be, and you know God's touched your heart today, you've heard truth that's helped you, would you help us give water to people who've never had clean water? Would you join me, one of our team members, Tammy Trent, and many others who've gone with us to the mission fields of the world, would you help us give water to those who are dying of waterborne diseases because they have no fresh, clean water? Please, help us drill wells. Please. You call that number. You get a busy, don't you stop till you get through. The rest of you who are not calling, watch this closely. Watch it prayerfully.
These worn paths provide routes for people and animals alike so they can make their way to water sources. The problem with that is in most villages, families have to share the very same water source with the animals.
Animals drinking, and sad as feces. These ladies are here washing, and you can see by looking at the water that, you know, it's you wouldn't want to wash your clothes in it, but they do. But the problem is people drink this, and it's absolutely 100% contaminated, and it is killing people here in Africa.
It is hard to imagine the impact these polluted water sources have on a person until you take a look at the facts. The lack of safe water is one of the world's largest causes of illnesses. And even more tragic is the fact that these waterborne illnesses are one of the leading causes of death for children under the age of 5.
What you see behind me is their only option for water every single day. To know that this water is affecting their little lives and frankly has killed many, many, many children, it just seems so horrific to think that this is what they drink every single day. And the thing is, it's something that can be fixed. We can change this. We can do something about it. We could come in here with our rig. We could set up the drill. We could drill them a water well that within days would change everything, turn their little bodies around and give them life. And I promise you, it will make a difference. Let's bring them water for life.
I don't know how you could even look at those precious children and not want to give them a well. Betty, I would not be able to show people the dire conditions in Africa if I didn't know we had the perfect cure. And we really do, and that's not an exaggeration.
We really do. And if you could be over there and see actually face to face with that water that they drink, it would turn your stomach. You'd have to turn away. You'd think those precious little ones are putting that into their bodies. And they keep putting it in there. The mothers are offering it to them because that's all they have. Please join with us and let's drill the wells. They need them now, as soon as we can get started on them. Let's give them a cup of fresh water.
Would you please, very prayerfully, ask God what He wants you to do right now? What can I do? Everyone can do something. Jesus said, if you just give a cup of water in my name, you won't lose your reward. You know what the reward is for me? That I gave a cup of water, that I gave a chance at life. I'm not waiting for some big return. I don't think about the return, but you can't ever stop sowing and reaping. When you sow, you reap. God's going to bless you. We don't need to get into that discussion. Why don't we think about others, knowing that God is thinking about us, but God wants to flow through us water for life. Would you right now go get your bank card and use it like a check? Dial that number or go online. Take that card and make the largest gift you can. The wells cost an average of $4,800. It's been that way now for years. That in itself is a miracle. That's a lot of work from people managing all the resources, the petrol, all of the machinery that you have paid for over the years, the drilling rigs, everything. You support the missionaries and the workers. Right now, we need a miracle response. Could you give a well? They cost $4,800. Many of our viewers tell us that the most exciting thing they do every year is drill a well. And they did what Betty and I did. They asked God to let them drill one every year. We've been able to do it. And I mean, we've been doing it a long time. When they started, they were 3,600. Then they jumped to 48, but they stayed there a long time. That's a miracle. Would you drill a miracle well? Or would you give so 10 people have water? $48 will do that. If you can give part of a well, 1,200 or 2,400, and pray others join you, we've got another well. At whatever level you can come in, please go get that card or make that check to life. But call us and tell us what you're sending, or go online and give it. Thank you so much. We've got some really inspirational gifts to bless you. We always want to bless you. Thank you for giving people water.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you the Life Prayer Journal, complete with customized art, scripture verses, and inspirational quotes from Life Today hosts and co-hosts. You'll find plenty of room to write down prayer requests, answered prayers, and your own personal reflections as you spend time with God. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Blessed Cutting Board, a beautiful addition to your kitchen and preparation area. This pine wood cutting board is custom engraved with the word blessed as a reminder of the daily provision of God in your life. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request our colorful bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Well, I am praying that so many people are calling that you needed to go online to help us drill water wells. And we've got 350 located where they need it, and it's there. We just got to drill to it and give them the water. So please, and if you want the book, just ask for it, okay? Rebecca, you are such a blessing. You tell Gabe we miss him. You know, I don't want to say, well, I'm happier that Rebecca's here, but you're just a whole lot more radiant and more beautiful than he is. So I'm telling him, he can take it. He can take it. Gabe,
oh,
we
yeah.
love you.
He would agree with you.
Yeah, he absolutely would. We love you so much. And thank all of you. Thank you for being friends of life, because you really do make life possible for so many people. Not only life now to live, but eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's what you're helping share. Thank you for doing it.
Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media. Get access to exclusive content and news with the Life Today social media experience. Tomorrow, Rachel Gilbert helps us see beauty God's way.
We can appreciate it, but we were never designed to be hyper aware of what we look like.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.